Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org, use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together. So Jesus, in the end of Matthew's gospel, had given what we know as the Great Commission, which to his disciples he essentially said, go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is not just for a small select group of people. The love of God in Christ is for all people, for all times, everywhere. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everybody. And he made that very clear. And in the book of Acts, which, by the way, was written by Luke, Luke and Acts is a two-volume work intentionally. So if you went to Barnes & Noble today and this just came out, you'd have Luke and Acts together. So Luke wrote Acts. And it tells the story of the early church. And it talks about how they were trying to decide, is this good news of Jesus Christ something that we can take to the Gentiles? Or is it just for our people? And they struggle with this because centuries and centuries of laws and rules and traditions and expectations had been set. Yet here, the Holy Spirit is pushing them beyond their own group, breaking down barriers. The Holy Spirit has a way of doing that, by the way, if you haven't noticed, maybe in your own life. Maybe you looked at something 20 years ago, and now you look at it completely different, and you didn't decide to change your mind on anything. The Holy Spirit just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Well, the early followers decided, we need some help. We can't do this on our own, and we're especially having trouble feeding the widows in our community. So they selected 7 men to do this, one of which was Stephen. You remember Stephen? He gave that great speech about the faith, and then he was stoned and killed, and at the end he said, Father, forgive them, echoing what Jesus had said on the cross. And one of the others was Philip, who we have in our story today. They were Hellenistic Jews, which meant that they were not in Jerusalem. They were Greek-speaking and Greek culture, yet they were Jewish. And they were asked to take on the task of feeding those in need. Isn't it wonderful that in the text it said these deacons were charged with feeding and caring for other people? So that was the task. Philip, that's your job. Have you ever interviewed for a job and maybe it's a new career and you think it's going to be one thing and then you actually get into the job and you realize it's not what you thought it would be? I think all of us can probably relate to that. We think it's going to be one thing, then we get into it and it's quite another. Any teachers here today? Is it what you thought it would be 100%? Probably not. My wife has taught in public schools for years. My mom was a teacher. My sister teaches. I'm in a family of teachers. And it's not what it was 20, 30 years ago. It is different. There are crazy expectations related to this STAR test. Teachers feel like there's one arm tied behind their back in different ways. It is hard. Trying to maintain control in a classroom, that's always difficult, but they get in it, all of them, because they love children. And when you start, you don't think you'd be having to type an email late at night to Johnny's mom or dad who thinks Johnny's perfect and never did anything wrong, right? I got an amen from a teacher at the 8:30 on that one. And I can imagine Philip imagining, what is it going to be like to just go and feed? And well, lo and behold, he does that. But then what does the Spirit do? It pushes him to do more. Not just feeding, but actually sharing the good news of Christ. And the Spirit called him, in this case, to go from the Jerusalem area down towards Gaza. Didn't say what he would be doing. It just said, go that way. And he went. Now, how many of us would like that? Hey, just go that way and we'll fill in the details later. Just go. Well, he begins the journey. And as he travels along, he sees this chariot. And in the chariot is an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit, once again, pushes Philip to actually join the chariot. And chariots actually move, right? So it's probably moving. And the text actually said that he ran up alongside the chariot. And inside the chariot was an Ethiopian eunuch. So what in the world was a eunuch? Well, eunuchs were castrated males that would serve in the high office of the queen. Part of their task was to look after the harem. And they needed a group that they could trust with that. Hence the procedure. There's no graceful way to say this. I mean, that's just what it was. Sorry. But it matters to the story you'll see in a minute. Jesus talked about eunuchs in Matthew 19. He talked about the different types of eunuchs. Some are born that way. Some are made that way by others to serve. But one thing is clear. They were seen as kind of this odd group. What do you do with them? And society marginalized them. Even the church. So in Deuteronomy 23 verse 1, in the Torah, is very clear. Eunuchs are not allowed in the assembly. Period. Worship. You are not allowed here. Can you imagine being a greeter there at the temple? And you're out there in the parking lot and you picked up some donuts and coffee and you got your badge on, you're the greeter. And you have to say to another human being, you can't come in here, please leave. Yeah, neither can I. Neither can I. And so you can imagine this eunuch. The text says that he went up to Jerusalem to worship. Why in the world was he going up there to worship when it's clear he wasn't welcome? Well, he's returning from that experience. Philip runs up alongside the chariot. He joins it, sits beside him, and he's reading this passage from Isaiah. And Philip asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, no, how can I unless somebody helps me? And it was in that moment that they began this wonderful conversation about the text, and not just the text, but what it meant leading up to Christ. And isn't that wonderful in our own community? I think of the Bible study groups, the small groups that we've had here. We need each other in our faith formation, especially in regards to Scripture. It is so much richer when I can hear your experience of life and how you experience the text, because it helps me, and I hope that does the same for you. We need each other. Christianity is not to be done in isolation. And so they're riding together, talking about the text. And he asked the question, who is this talking about? The one that was despised, rejected. And Philip said it was Jesus. Now, do you think that connected with him at some level? Absolutely. I know what that feels like. I've been rejected. I'm a eunuch. And not just that, it's an Ethiopian eunuch. So that Luke actually doubles down here and says, Philip, what are you going to do with a foreigner and a eunuch together? What are you going to do in this situation? We all know what it feels like to be rejected. I mean, it may not be as extreme as that. I hope you've never been to a church and they've told you to get out. But we've all been rejected. We've all felt that. I was at a small church early in my ministry, and there was a group that played 42. 42 is a domino game, which they taught me well. They were pretty intense. I mean, I learned 42 the hard way. Now, if you ever played 42 with serious 42 players, they do not mess around. It is about winning the game. That's it. And so they would meet on Wednesday afternoons, and our church was right down the road from a school in town, and we decided to start an after-school program for the elementary kids where they could come and play, have a snack, and get some help with their homework. Many of these kids had home situations that were not good at all, and we wanted to provide a place for these kids to come to our church. Well, I was driving towards the church that day. I was made a hospital visit and was driving back, and I get the call from one of the members of the church who was helping set up for the after school that it was raining and the domino players had locked the doors because some of the kids were 5 minutes early, and it was clear when we decided to make this arrangement that we had it till 3:30. They had locked elementary kids out of the building and they were getting wet. Now, I am very laid back. Most things don't bother me, but when something bothers me, it bothers me. I lost my mind. I said, I'll be right there. Of course, it was a cell phone. I get to the church and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This is complete. This is unacceptable. Let them in. And later I finally cooled off and we went about our way. And then a few weeks later, I'm standing there in worship, serving communion, and who comes to my line but the guy that was the ringleader of it all, the one locking the door. He's coming to my line, and I'm like, God, really? I got to serve this guy communion? Are you kidding me? Did you see what he did to those children? And it was as if God had this amazing sense of humor, like, he's a child of God too, and while what he did wasn't right, I think you need to love him too, because he's probably pretty broken to do something like that. And maybe he needs my grace just as much as anybody else. Well, they're traveling along in the chariot. The eunuch actually hears that this is about Jesus and he's like, yeah, I'm all in. Look, there's some water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Now, isn't that a great question? That is the question of the text, the story. What or who can prevent me from being baptized? In other words, is there anything that can keep anybody from the grace of God in Christ? Now, Philip had a decision to make. Remember, he was new, and it's almost like he was so new that he didn't know any better. If he had more experience, he would have said, now, wait a minute, I need to call a committee meeting with the guys back at the headquarters, and we're going to have a meeting to decide if I can do this for you. I'll be right back. But no, the Spirit of God said, you know what to do, Philip. Do it. And the two of them got out of the chariot, and Philip baptized the eunuch. Then the story gets even weirder. An angel, or the Spirit of God, snatched Philip away. So they have this wonderful conversation in the chariot, and Philip's just snatched away. He didn't get to stick around for the punch and cookie reception. He didn't get to sign the baptismal certificate and give him a pen, or just that was it. And Philip was on to the next place to share the good news, to find the next person that had been rejected to say, you're accepted. Well, the eunuch didn't seem to mind that Philip was gone. He was too busy rejoicing that he finally felt accepted. And he gets back in the chariot, I would presume. Now, there's one person we haven't talked about yet today. Who is that? The driver. Somebody was driving the chariot. What do you think the driver was thinking about all this? I mean, he's driving the eunuch. back home, the driver, a servant himself, he knows what it feels like to be rejected and down here. They're driving along. He hears him reading this from Isaiah. This guy named Philip hops in. They both get in the water. Somebody's getting baptized. And you got to think that maybe the driver was thinking to himself, I wonder if that applies to me too. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And you can just see the eunuch and the driver as they are traveling along, and the eunuch becomes Philip for the driver. Then they get to the destination, and the driver becomes Philip for his family. It just goes on and on and on. You know, grace has that wonderful characteristic to it. We talk in our church a lot about belonging, believing, and becoming. We believe that we all are children of God. We belong to God. We belong to the church. In believing, we receive grace in Christ and salvation and begin this new life to become what God wants us to be. But you can't believe and become unless you belong. And that was clear. He belonged. And I wonder if Luke left the driver out of this story completely so that we could put ourselves in that seat. What would we have done if we were driving the chariot? Would we have accepted what happened? Now, I mentioned earlier, society at that time with eunuchs had clear lines. You're here, but you're not here. And there's a woman named Elaine at a church I served prior to this, St. Barnabas. And my last Sunday at St. Barnabas, she gave me a cup, this coffee cup. It's one of the best gifts I've ever received from anybody in a church. And I keep it to this day, and it's very important to me. I don't even, as much as I like coffee, I won't even drink coffee out of it. I don't want to mess up the cup. She had given me this cup, and on the cover of the cup, there are people standing and there are lines in boxes, and each person has a pencil, like a big pencil over their shoulder, and they're drawing these lines, these boxes, except for one person. One of them has the pencil flipped upside down with the eraser erasing lines. The person to the right of the person with the eraser has a scowl on his face, looks very unpleasant. And if you look closer at the one with the eraser, he has a crown of thorns on his head. Who could that be? The one with the crown of thorns has the eraser saying, no, you will not be divided. You will not exclude this person. All are welcome in my house. My grace and salvation is available to all people. Everyone. And I can just hear the eunuch now. Remember, he was reading from Isaiah? Let's imagine him on the ride home. The driver's driving, and the eunuch decides to take another look at the scroll of Isaiah. You remember what it said in Deuteronomy 23? The eunuch is not allowed in the assembly, period. And then he's reading through Isaiah, and in Isaiah 56, verse 3-6, this is what he reads. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. I bet he just fell out of the chariot when he read that. He had to be thinking to himself, I just experienced this wonderful moment in baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I just found my name in the book. I'm guessing you didn't drive in to church today on a rainy day like this just because you just like driving in the rain. My guess is you drove in here because you want what that eunuch wanted. You want what I want. You want what all of us want, and that is to find our names written on the heart of God. And I have the wonderful task today of saying, I'm glad you came because you're accepted. And God gave his son to die for you to prove it. What shall prevent me from being baptized? I don't know about you, but whatever judgment looks like, whatever that day looks like, I want to be able to look Christ in the eyes and say, I was never the who or the what that prevented somebody else from coming to you. Ever. For after all, who am I to say no to those that God has obviously said yes? Let's pray. God, forgive us when we make divisions and categorize each other. Remind us that all of us are sinners in need of your grace, and that you've asked us to share Christ with each other. You've asked us to do that so that others can know of your love for them. And then by your grace, we can become what you intended us to be in the first place. And so we thank you for being a God who knows how to use an eraser. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org. Or find us on social media at FUMCRR.